We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBA Front Office Show. Trevor Lane joined by a significantly cooler version of Keith Smith today. Air conditioning back and working in the Smith household, which means we're back in action. Keith, got to feel good to be back out of the hotel, back in your home again, AC up and running.
Yeah, and let's be clear, cooler in terms of temperature. I am no cooler in terms of being a cool person or anything like that. But yeah, it was brutal. Anybody who lives in the South knows you like AC is a must. It is not it's not a luxury by any means or anything like that. And it was funny, I had a couple people say to me, like, why did you not just go buy a new one, man? They're only like $200. And I was like, no. These are not the window units that you're right. thinking of. Like, these are, this is my whole central air was down. And it was pretty brutal. And there was just no way to record from a hotel room when the whole family, including two dogs, is crammed into one room. So it was, it is what it is, though. We're back and we're ready to roll.
And it's looking like, I guess, the first topic for us to get into, the NBA expansion. Maybe coming? Maybe? I don't know. I'm not sure how to take this. There were some rumbling, some rumors that, the NBA was like on the verge of announcing expansion, and then that kind of got walked back a little bit. But the two teams were the teams that we've been talking about for months now, or the two cities were the cities we've been talking about for months now, Seattle and Las Vegas, potentially getting expansion teams. So how should we take this? Is this just inevitable at this point? And this was maybe something getting out a little too early, or how do you feel about the reporting?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think there's a chance it just came out a little early and the NBA is not ready to do this yet. And nor are their partners in Seattle and Las Vegas ready for this to come out. What had happened was a writer for the AP tweeted a few days back. He tweeted that the NBA is going to announce expansion while playing preseason games in Seattle. They're going to announce expansion to Seattle and Las Vegas. And it was, of course, right? It took on a life of its own from there because everybody's excited and folks from those markets. It is funny, though. I think the folks in Seattle were a little more like, yeah, sure, we'll believe it when we see it.
Right.
that's one where I don't trust people if they're like, ah, if Woj didn't tweet it, I'm not going to believe it. Right. But it's, here's where I'm at on this. I don't know that we're imminent on announcing expansion. It's certainly, there were a bunch of people like, imagine if one of these teams ends up with Victor Wembanyama, it wouldn't be next season anyway. It would be the minimum of probably 2 years away if they announced it, this year. But where I'm at with this is I think it's inevitable it will be Seattle and Las Vegas. I just think we're still probably another year or two out from getting the actual announcement that it's coming, which means we're somewhere between, let's say, 3 and 5 years from teams actually starting to play.
Yeah, there's going to be preseason games in Las Vegas again this year. Mm-hmm. The Summer League is obviously hosted there. It makes it a very natural and easy city. The NBA already has a good relationship there. And, of course, Seattle, the sentiment has been ever since the Sonics left. The sentiment has been, was that the theme from The Office?
It was. That's my ringtone.
That's fantastic. And I'm proud of myself for getting that off of like the first two, notes.
It was like, name that tune. I can
right. I got it. But the sentiment has been that Seattle was, unjustly lost their team. And so it makes sense that these are the two cities And it feels like that's the path we're ultimately going to head down. Maybe the gun was just jumped a little bit in terms of saying it's coming like this summer. But again, I do think it happens eventually. And I do wonder what the new TV deal, like, does that need to be in place first before they would go down that path?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, T's that need crossed and I's that need dotted, because as it stands under the current collective bargaining agreement, which we know is really only going to be good through the middle of December, both sides are very much expected to opt out. That's not a bad thing. That doesn't mean we're going to see stoppage of play and missed games or anything. It just means they're going to opt out and say, hey, let's work on a new agreement. But there's none of the revenue from expansion goes to the players in that. So these billions of dollars that are going to be paid for these expansion fees, none of that goes to the players. It all just goes into the NBA owners. The other, in this case, would be 30 owners would split those expansion fees up evenly. And so I think there's going to be some negotiation around either, hey, we want a chunk of that, or what we want is, you have to do 12 guaranteed contracts per team or something like that in there. There'll clearly have to be negotiation done around setting, which is more on the ownership side than it is anything with the players. But all right, if past practice is any guide, which it generally is, they'll operate under a reduced salary cap for the first couple years. You know, if everybody else is at 130 million, they may be at 110 million or something like that. Their draft picks were generally the first draft, sometimes the first two drafts are capped at no higher than fourth or fifth or something like that. So I do think that there is a chance what we're going to see here over the next little bit is just that the negotiations of how do we do this? How do we split this up? What does it look like? That work all needs done. That's why I don't necessarily think we're going to see this. And to your point, that TV money needs to be split, because if I'm a current owner, I don't know that I want to split that pie two more ways. I would like to kind of, you know, yeah, you could get a chunk of it, but you get, you know, maybe, you know, a fifth share or something in the first couple of seasons, or they'll figure all that out. But I still tend to believe it's coming sooner rather than later.
I can't wait for when that does happen. We're going to have so much to talk about in terms of who gets protected. Should some teams try to offer something for players to get selected by the expansion teams, and all kinds of different stuff for us to break down in terms of strategy and how these teams can be set up. I think it will happen eventually, but maybe a little bit premature to say that it's getting done at this point. But again, it just feels like it's going to be Seattle and Las Vegas. I've seen people make arguments for other cities as well. I've seen Vancouver and stuff like that. But
And Louisville's always thrown in there too. I just think the NBA wants to rebalance, get a couple more West teams in there. We know Seattle's going to be one of them. That's just basically a guarantee. And then I think in Las Vegas, my guess is the NBA is very conscious of, they already have somewhat of a foothold in Vegas because of the summer league. But the Golden Knights are very popular, the hockey team, because that was Vegas's first pro, you know, team in the Big Four. Now you've got the Raiders, and there's all these rumors that the A's are going to move out there. You don't really want to be the fourth league in town. Right, you want to come back. Now, I've heard some people say, well, aren't they going to be the fourth team in Seattle? But the Sonics still have a fan base. There's still a group of people who love them. Basketball is extremely popular in Seattle. Ton of NBA players, as we see, constantly showing love to their home town there. So, yeah, I think that one's probably a little more straightforward. So that, but at this point, I would, I don't even know if you could bet this, but I would guess if you could bet it, it would be very, very heavily favored Seattle and Las Vegas as the two destinations, with everybody else, trailing far, far behind.
I don't know if you can either, but in general, I feel like for most things, if the question is, can you bet it? The answer is yes, sure. Typically.
Yeah, I mean, so him, his name might be Bruno on the side of the street corner taking your money in the bank.
Right, could be.
Yeah, and he might break your legs if you don't pay. But yeah, you can generally bet on anything anywhere.
But you know what, Keith? You shouldn't have said that, because we don't talk about him.
That's it. We don't talk about him.
All right, moving on to something that could happen, not this coming season, but actually next season. The NBA tournament. Right before we started recording this, Shams Charania had some details on what a mid-season tournament could look like, could be put into practice. Again, not necessarily for the 2022-2023 season. That's not going to happen. But 2023-2024, we could very well see a mid-season tournament take place. Conceptually, do you like the idea, Keith, of this?
I like the idea of the tournament, as long as it is, I don't want it to add to the workload of what's already too many regular season games anyway. And it sounds like per Shams that the initial portion of the games will be scheduled as part of the 82 game schedule. How they're going to do that, I don't really know. But then he said, and each team that makes the finals will play one extra game, presumably whatever that is, prize money, whatever it is, they'll make it worth it to play that extra game for those teams. So yeah, if you say, hey, we still have an 82 regular season game and Lakers and Clippers are playing in round one of this tournament and they are going to, but that also counts as their, one of their regular season matchups. Sure.
Yeah.
No issue there. That's fine. And I think it'll probably be one of those things, much like the play-in tournament. It'll be a little bit like, do we need this? What are we doing here? Then it'll come in, and if they do it right, much like they did with the play-in tournament, it'll be exciting and fun, and we'll all be kind of like, oh, this is kind of cool. I can go forward with this. So I don't have an issue with it. I just want to see what the execution looks like. So
again, this is what Shams had, kind of just going off what you said. Cup games through November. Eight teams advance to a single elimination final in December. Other 22 continue with their regular season. So the other teams continue with the regular season. This, all the games somehow, I'd have to see exactly how this works, but
yeah,
all the games are part of a normal 82 game schedule. The only thing is that you get one extra game for the two final teams. So somehow, like the eight teams that advance, somehow the games that they play in this tournament have to count towards the regular season schedule. How you do that though, while still doing, keeping arena dates and all that kind of stuff in mind, I'm going to be interested to see how the NBA actually plans to execute this. But the play, just the idea of, hey, at most, even if your team gets all the way to the final, it's one game added to your season. I think that would draw a sigh of relief from a lot of teams who don't want to see, say, 5-6 games added onto an already packed schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one game, whatever. No, that shouldn't impact anybody too negatively. Now you watch, someone will get hurt in this extra game, and you'll have a bunch of screaming and yelling of, like, if we didn't have this stupid thing, they wouldn't have got hurt. But yeah, I mean, it'll probably be pretty fun. It'll probably be, exciting. I mean, I've been watching as much as I can the Eurobasket. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a little different because this is an international competition, so people are playing for country. And anytime you're competing for your country, the stakes are raised and it feels, fun. But, like, that's a lot of fun, too. I know both you and I have been at various degrees interested in, like, the Premier League. And the Premier League, not the Premier League itself, but in English football, they have a whole bunch of various in-season tournaments that they play. And people are, all about some of them, and some of them they're not so all about. And sometimes they do different stuff. Orlando City, here where I live, just won the U.S. Open Cup, which is the soccer tournament that's open to all professional soccer clubs in the United States. And they won that. So I think in general, if you do it right, it'd be interesting. Maybe it would be more interesting if it was, hey, let's get the G League in here and stuff. Problem is, we don't have levels and levels of professional basketball in this country because the main minor league feeder system for the NBA remains college basketball. And obviously you're not going to get teams involved, in this like that. But yeah, let's see where this all comes together and what it looks like. But yeah, I think if you do it right, it has the potential to be a lot of fun. And it's one more thing. And the reality is, if it's NBA related, we're going to watch it no matter what.
Well, absolutely, we definitely are. And I want to say this too. There's been a lot of discussion of, well, how do you get players to care about this, right? Why would teams not just use this as an opportunity for load management, rest all of their stars, and that would cause the tournament to flop? If the games are doubling up in terms of its regular season game and a tournament game, then you kind of alleviate that question. Sure. But then Shams also mentioned that they're still trying to figure out exactly what the prize is going to be for winning the tournament. So there's going to be that incentive. But also, I like the idea that you're doubling up games in terms of tournament game and regular season game, that they count for both, because it gets rid of that thought process of, well, it's a tournament, we don't really care about the tournament, so all the stars are on the bench.
It's also really important too that they're doing it all at once, because if this was spread out, like, all right, kind of the way, again, to go back for those who don't know, some of these footballs and in football tournaments in the English football system are, they're spread out over months of the year, yeah, where it's, you know, you'll play, you know, group stage or lower level games are played, and then it just keeps building and building until you get into the final. If it was like that, that would be a little bit different. But I think what this one is, where it's kind of all being played in a month long period, well, you can't just right out of, you're not going to have training camp.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get right into this and then just sit everybody and be like, nope, you know, hey, we, you know, like, if you're Boston, we think we can win, so Jason Tatum's not going to play until December. It wouldn't work, because then it's like, how do you ramp them back up? How do you get them ready to go? What do you do? What does that look like? So that part, I think, is smart too. Put it all at one time. And you know what? Hey, if there's a couple teams that are like, nah, I don't really care so much about this, because I don't really care so much about this, you know, boring regular season game to us anyway, that's relatively meaningless in one or two, and we're going to play our kids, so be it. I mean, we get that already anyway. You know, it's, I, there's, you know, my thing, you know, Tuesday night in Orlando, you know, I'm going to sit a bunch of guys. Well, why not sit a bunch of guys in the first round of this thing if you're just like, nah, whatever, it doesn't matter. But I think what ends up happening is players don't, if you put something in front of them, like, hey, you have a chance to win something, they're going to compete. Because these guys are, you know, competitors of the highest level. So it'll be interesting to see what way it comes together. And the good thing, I think, just like with the play-in tournament, the NBA, if nothing else has proven, will be super adaptable. Like, if it doesn't really work this way, we'll tweak it. We'll change it. We'll adjust, and we'll keep going. But it's coming sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think it's coming. I think it's going to come next season, and then we'll see. You know, the play-in tournament had a lot of skeptics, and it's been great, and it's not going anywhere now. This could very well be the same. We'll see. A lot of it's going to depend on the execution. All right. We do have one transaction that took place in the NBA recently, and that's Maxi Kleba. Got an extension, 3 years, $33 million with the Dallas Mavericks. There's been a lot of buzz, and I'm just talking about people speculating. I'm not talking about like source stuff, but just there's been a lot of speculation looking at the Dallas Mavs roster that they could be one of, if not the next team to make a big superstar trade. And when you see this Kleba extension, I'm not saying they did this just to trade him, but this is the kind of contract that you typically see thrown into trades in terms of the dollar amount and everything. And I think he's a talented player. I think it makes sense on its own merit as just a deal. But I do wonder if the Mavs are going to have something up their sleeves here in the next year or two, trying to find that ultimate star to pair with Luka.
Yeah, and I can confirm, and we've already got the details up on SpotTrack. If you want to go check, it's $11 million flat per season for Kleba. But you're absolutely right. What they can do now, between now and into the offseason, they have a whole bunch of deals that range between 10 and, let's say, $20 million that they can, you can start piling them together and put them into various trade packages. And that is often what we see is a more successful route to getting a big name player than having another big name salary. Because rare is the day when it is trade big name the Russell Westbrook for John Wall trades, sure, are pretty rare. We don't see that very often where it's, you know, $240 million guys going for each other. But we've seen multiple times, including Westbrook to the Lakers was what, 3-4 players went out in that deal that made, let's call it, 10 to 12 million each. The trade for Donovan Mitchell was a whole bunch of guys who made, you know, again, somewhere in the 15, 16 million range. Rudy Gobert trade was a bunch of guys in the 10 to $15 million range. So that's just a way to stack salaries. It can be very hard when you're trying to trade the one big one for another single big one, because there's just only so many of those out there. And quite frankly, they're either attached to really great players that their teams don't want to trade, or guys who it's like, I don't want that guy at 40 plus million. So that's where the challenge comes in with that. So yeah, I like the way Dallas is putting it together. And also $11 million a year for Maxi Kleber, completely fair value for what he brings to the team.
Oh, but also,
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Okay, this isn't that big a news. I really just wanted to hit the button.
Yeah.
Shams Charania just announcing that the NBA has informed teams that the 2023-2024 salary cap is currently projected to be $134 million. That's an increase of $10.4 million than this current season. And at a $162 million tax level, that's $1 million higher than previous projections. So the cap, it just keeps rising. And now we're finding out the teams are going to have a little bit more wiggle room in there, $1 million more than what they are currently operating under, or what they thought they would be operating under.
Yeah, this is further proof for anybody who says, you know, ratings in the NBA is not popular and people don't watch it anymore. Yeah, baloney. It just keeps getting going up and up and up. And this is, you know, that's the main driver for this stuff, is TV-related things. Also things like league pass and merchandise sales and all that stuff. This league is in as good a shape as it's ever been in. The fact that we have come out of multiple pandemic-impacted seasons and locked into a salary cap that is going up more than, remember, they agreed after they got through the 1 year they kept it flat after the bubble. Then they said, we'll do a minimum 3% growth. They've blown way past that 3% growth each last year and going into this next year as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if that 134 goes up again. I think there's a good chance that goes up again to maybe 135, 136. And when this new TV deal comes in, we're going to be looking at a salary cap that's going to be well north of $150 million. Well north, probably starting to approach towards $200 million. The big thing with that is when you see a guy gets $30, $40 million in the next couple of years, just start reframing in your mind. That's not going to be a third to, of the salary cap. Even if it's 30 to 35% this year, in a few years, that's probably going to be 15 to 20% at most.
Right. Yeah. That's something that we have to remember when we're looking at the deals that come down. Just doing some basic math. I mean, basic math, $134 million, if that's the salary cap, that would mean for a 35% max, you're looking at a starting salary of about $47 million now.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, which is that's a big chunk of change with that. And that this impacts guys like Nikola Jokic, who just signed his Supermax extension, Joel Embiid, who has an extension kicking in next year, and a handful of guys. And it impacts your boy here, because I got to sit down now and refigure a whole bunch of stuff and get it rebuilt and ready to go. But that's fine. That's, you know, I've got everything set up to basically plug in some new numbers and off we go. But yeah, good news all around if you're, you know, especially if you're an NBA player, good news, because you've got that much more money coming your way. But this is a, you know, great news for this league that we love, is, you know, as healthy as it's ever been.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Keith, just to bring everything full circle, at least you can crunch those numbers in air conditioning.
So. Yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah. thankfully. Yeah. Except the Smith family is, we're going to be bouncing around the state all weekend playing in soccer games. It's, we're full on in the throes of soccer season, but it's good. At least we'll have a nice cool house to come back to and relax at the end of each night.
It's going to feel that much cooler now when you come in from out of the heat. But,
and again, remember, cooler in terms of temperature, not cooler in terms of being a cool guy. My daughter would tell you that is absolutely 100% true. I am not cool.
Well, you know what? That's just the job of a kid, I think, right. especially at her age. But that's okay, Keith. We all think that you are just cool enough to come in here and talk NBA basketball every day, man, with us. And I'm glad that now your AC is back so we can get the show back running again and back to our regular schedule.
I was looking at it while I was starting to map some stuff out when I was like, all right, I'm just sitting here in this hotel. We're literally sitting in a hotel room watching The Office over Labor Day. And I love The Office, but I've seen the entire show through probably 25 times. Yep. And we're just sitting there, and I was like, I'm going to start mapping out some stuff I got to do. And I was like, man, we got a lot of work to do. Not a lot of time to do it in. So, but yeah, we're going to have some fun here over the next few weeks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are not that far away from preseason basketball. Everything's just about back. Media day coming up. We've got football back. We already had a game last night. We've got more games this weekend. Oh, let's go, sports.
It is. It's 3 weeks from today.
That's
right. The first preseason games are. So, let's go. Six in the morning, my time. Six in the morning, Warriors at Wizards on the 30th.
We'll do a little early morning broadcast or something. We'll get up and check it out.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe not. maybe not. We'll see.
We'll recap it later in the day.
Yeah, I think we can handle that. All right, everybody, make sure you do subscribe to the NBA Front Office YouTube channel. We're pushing towards 20,000 subscribers. We're almost there. Help push us over the hump. Go ahead and subscribe to the NBA Front Office YouTube channel. Don't forget to follow us over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts as well. Till next time, everybody, have a great weekend. See ya and stay safe.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.